I want to share a message that I want to call Pick Your Praise. Pick Your Praise. And I'm excited that we already started with that scripture in Luke chapter 19 that we read together about the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem and the response of the people. They were praising Jesus. And it says why they were coming. It says here that it was because of the mighty works that they had seen. They had seen miracles. And we know from John's account that many people came because they had heard about Lazarus rising from the dead. And they were excited. They thought, who else could be the prophet that we've been expecting, the Messiah that we've been expecting, than the one who has done all these miracles, including raising people from the dead? So they were already for 400 years waiting for their prophet, for their Messiah, and they were excited to welcome Jesus as the Messiah. That's why they shouted out those messianic titles. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The king, they called him, the son of David. They were crying out messianic praise to Jesus. And we're going to start just by giving praise to Jesus. I'm going to invite Yami to come. Yami has the best name, doesn't she? What a name, Yami. Can you imagine being called Yami your whole life? It's just a fun name. It's a warm and friendly name. And if you look at Yami, you can see warm and friendly. You can just see the friendliness of this woman. And her son, is there a sweeter little boy that you've ever met than Isaac? Isaac came to me this morning. Can I show off Isaac for a little bit? Isaac came to me this morning, and he handed this to me. And mom said that they stopped at the store on the way here so he could get Pastor a fruit basket. And his wife. Well, yeah, that's, believe me, yeah. I'm not Pastor without her. That's right. Yeah. So isn't that precious? And then he said to me, the basket is mine, so give that back when you're done. And I'm happy to give it back to him because he'll fill it up again next year, I'm expecting. And he's just the cutest little guy. And it was his idea. Nobody said, how old is Isaac? 6 years old. He is. Come on over here. Come stand more closer over here. Yami's going to share what she has to praise the Lord about in her own life. She's going to share a testimony of what God is doing. Do you want to put your Bible here? Yeah? Yeah, come in. You can stand right there and you can use that. Are you ready to use this? All right, let's give a hand to Yami.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, thank you. And he looked at me and said, are you ready? Because he knows I'm very nervous. I'm doing this because I felt from the Lord. You know, every time I come here, I feel so fortunate and blessed to be here with all of you, just to have the opportunity to come to this wonderful place. And when I hear your testimonies, I grow, and it just reminds me, I said, God we serve, and that if nothing is impossible for him. And it encourages me. So I thought, even though English is my second language and I am terrified, I would never on my own stand anywhere and talk like this, but God gave me the courage today. I have to tell you, he did. He said, you must tell them, because when I started coming to this church, I was a mess. I was a real wreck. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my life. I'm from Nicaragua, and when I was about 6 years old, we had the worst earthquake, it was back in '72 in Nicaragua. And it destroyed completely the country, especially Managua, where I was, where my home was. And God saved me. Our home came down. We lost everything. My grandmother died the next day from a heart attack because we lost everything. We were homeless. and my home fell, and thank God he delivered me. If I tell you the way they found me by my hair, and we had this bed with like metal frames, and my grandmother had this armoire that fell over, and it created a little pocket for me. And it, when everything came down, I was safe underneath that. Between the metal and just the armoire, I had a little pocket where I can breathe and survive this until they found me. So I can tell you that at the age of 8, we found this, I think it's called Evangelistic Church, Evangelico in Spanish, church. And we, I remember that I would go to church by myself because my mother was not interested. And I remember picking up kids from the neighborhood and bringing them to church on Sunday. I was just home by myself. And I would just gather them up, and they were happy to come. Back then, they didn't realize, I didn't realize the seed I was planting, but I was bringing them because I loved it, so I didn't see the problem. I didn't see why they shouldn't love it too, you know? So I was like, come on. And so I would gather up all the kids and we'll bring them with me. And back in 79, we had, if anyone knows the history of Nicaragua a little bit, we had a president named Somoza, and he was thrown out by the Sandinistas. And so there was a terrible war, and God delivered me. And when I say that, I don't mean just not getting shot and killed. I mean, actually, we were heading to the shelter, and I felt that that was not, my mother and I, we talked, and he said, this is not the place. I don't think we should stay here. We need to keep going to this place, this other place we had in mind. And soon, we were like 2 blocks away from that shelter when we hear this explosion and all this commotion. And everyone who was in the shelter where we were about to take refuge in, almost everyone there died because they threw bombs and killed almost everyone there. And so every time I think about all these things and how God brought me to this country and all the wonderful things he does for me, you know, it makes you think, it's like, wow, we have no control over things in life. He has control over everything. And he knows our heart. That's why I like being here, because I feel that you're also humble and you're not afraid to come out here and say, hey, I did this, I'm not perfect. And I feel so good because I'm like, I know we're not perfect. And that's why we don't ask him to give us what we deserve. Because if he gave us what we deserve, like Ms. Alienta said, oh my God, if he gave us what we deserve, we'd be in big trouble. I was laughing with that when she said that. Oh, be careful. Because sometimes we're arrogant, you know, and we say, oh God, why this and why that? You know, and why don't I get this? I've been asking for this and you don't give it to me. And you know what? I learned not to do that a long, long time ago, ever since I was young, because later on he will show you why. That's not what you need, and that's not what he wants for you. Sometimes we're our worst enemies. What we want, and we struggle so much to get what we want, and that's not what he wants. And I married, and I thought, wow, this is, he's handsome, he's nice, I like this man, this is it for me. And I marry, and then I can do anything, I can fix anything, no problem. And I was like, no problem at all. And he's a good man, But he didn't think God was important in our lives, in our marriage. He didn't think he was very important. And he said, well, you know, you work all week and even Saturday sometimes. Sundays you stay home with me. And I have to say, I was very sad about it, but I thought, okay, you know, and I began to withdraw from church, from the presence of God, because we think, okay, so we don't go to church, that's not so bad. We can study, we can pray on our own, but we really do need this time. We do need it. We need to comfort one another. We need to love one another. We need to encourage one another. We really do need it, and I began to feel bad, and things started to go so bad, and I remember God saying to me, you know, Yami, you know what to do. Go back to your essence. Go back, come back. You know what to do, and I remember saying, okay, God, I surrender, okay? I cannot do this on my own. I have to find you again, because you're the only one who can turn things around for me. And when I came to this church, my family was a mess, and I remember being so unhappy. And I have gotten like when Isaac was born, I got this condo with my mother out in Maryland, and she said, oh, we'll give $100,000 down, and we will we just continue paying it, and I'll leave this to your younger sister, Cindy, but we'll put it under your name, Yami. So I said, okay, I didn't see a problem with that. And that was one of the cause of the problems, that started the problems, because what happened is my mother got sick and she couldn't live so far on her own. So she decided we moved her closer, and we couldn't afford to pay two places with the condos and association fees and a whole bunch of stuff. So we thought, well, what do we do? So that was financial problems. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? How am I going to get out of this now? And I thought, I can't afford to pay for that and pay for this and help my mother. What am I going to do? And to make a long story short, the apartment went on foreclosure. They ruined my credit, which to me, paying debts and having good credit, I mean, to me that was just like so, that's like the most important, one of the most important things, because everyone would think, gosh, you know, this woman, you know, she has bad credit. She doesn't pay her bills. And I never wanted to get myself in that type of situation. But that's where I was. And I remember being so frustrated and crying. And God said to me, I had anxiety attacks. I ended up in the hospital twice. And God, I remember him saying to me, ask, Yami, ask. I can fix that. And I was like, oh, financial, huge problems. I got myself into this mess, and I can't get myself out of this. And he says he's going to help me. I'm like, and not only that, he said, if you leave it to me, not only am I going to, said in 2012, he told me, I'm going to fix this for you. Just don't do anything. Just leave it to me. I will take care of this. And I didn't know if we were going to sell it or if it was going to go on foreclosure. I didn't know what was going to happen last year, July of last year. I didn't know what was going to happen. But God said, leave it to me. I'll take care of it. And I thought, wow. I thought, well, you know what? I got nothing to lose because I can't fix this myself anyways. So might as well listen to him. And I was like, well, what else? What am I going to do? And I thought, okay. I leave that up to you, Lord. Well, he did. The place went on to foreclosure, and they settled the account, and then they sent me this huge bill because the bank, because we had put so much money down, it was almost paid for. So it was best for them to keep it. I mean, so they had all this money we put down. We had paid almost everything. So it was their my loss, their gain. So they said, okay, no one was willing to help me, but God was. He was there. He was faithful. And I didn't know what to do with this mess, but he did. And even though after the settlement and everything, after everything settled, they said, well, you still owe $10,000. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do now? So I remember going to my accountant, and I told him what happened. And I said, well, this is done with. And he said to me, oh, I know a friend. He's Jewish. He has this law office, and he specializes in that. He's fabulous, Yami. You have to call him. And I thought, I wonder how much is that going to cost me now? Everything is money. Everything is money. I was like, and obviously my mother doesn't have it, so guess who had to come up with it? And my husband was not thrilled. That they just added more problems on top of everything. And he said, and this man, Jewel, he said to me, oh, Yami, he said, these people just bought this debt, and whatever money they can get from you is good enough. Offer them $3,200, like monthly payments or something like that. And I said, oh, they're never going to go for that. I said, he said, Yami, obviously, you don't have anyone to give you advice. And he said, and you don't know how to negotiate. And I thought, okay. So I prayed, and I said, God, you direct. Oh, first of all, trying to get to this man was, it took me a whole week to try to get to this man. It was around this time of the year. It was in July, actually. And he said, I'm very busy right now. And he kept putting me off. But I prayed about it, and God said, keep calling him. And that was the best advice I got. I got on the phone with this woman, strategic, who was trying to collect. And she said, how much can you pay, ma'am? And I said, $3,200. That's all I have. And she said, okay, that's it. Let's close the deal. He said, how much can you give? I said, I give you $2,000 now. And she said, okay, and then you pay $100 per month, and it's done. I fell down. I was at work. I fell down, and I just said, thank you, Jesus. And I called my mother and my family, and because I have brothers and sisters, but obviously everyone has their struggles. And I'm usually the one that my mother says, hey, Yami. You know, I'm usually the one my mother leans to. And I tried. I was trying to be a good daughter and not be mean. But obviously, you know, something inside you as a human says, well, she's the one who got, you know, these trouble, you know. And my husband, and I have my husband back there going, okay, she ruined your credit. She did this, she did that. But she didn't mean to. She really, no one planned for this horrible situation we have in the country. And I don't know what's wrong with the condo where as soon as she moved in, she was very ill. They said something about the pipes and something in the pipes because it was a new complex, and it upset her. She has a breathing problems, and but I praise God that he's faithful. We definitely do not deserve all the love that he gives us. But he's always there waiting for us to ask. That's all we have to do. And I just wanted to share that with you all, that please don't be stubborn. ask. I know you all do, because when I come here, I feel the love, and I feel the Holy Spirit when I come here. So I know he's here with us. And I just want to thank you for all your encouragement. Okay? Thank you so much. God bless you.
Yami, before you sit down, is there something that has happened in your family? Maybe not everything has happened that you want to, but have you seen any difference? Yeah.
Oh, yes. I have. my husband is not actually here with me, but when I go home now, he is listening to, Joel. He's listening to Joel. He sits there and he's listening. And not only is he listening, but there's a difference in him. He's going to be here soon. There you go. That's right. I know that we can't move mountains ourselves, but we know someone who can, and we know someone who can touch the hearts, and he's going to bring him here. And I know that, I am sure, and I've seen changes, and I feel the peace in my home. I feel peace again, and I have hope. So thank you for all your prayers, and I just hope we all keep encouraging each other. Thank you.
Thank you. Didn't she do well sharing? Public speaker, she doesn't even know it, right? Pick your praise. Yami chose to praise the Lord. When you're talking about picking your praise, you're talking about choosing who you're going to praise, who you're going to give the praise. And some people maybe have a near calamity, maybe not survive an earthquake and a war, but some people walk away from an accident and they walk away saying, I have the luck of the Irish, or I'm from the right kind of family. I had some type of good spell that was cast on me when I was a child. And yet don't give praise to God. And Yami chose to recognize who saved her from that war. She was on her way to that shelter and just felt something. As a child, we need to not go there. And the Lord preserved her life as a result. That Anwar that fell was what saved her life. But she recognized that it was God who put her in that safe place. You know, wars and famines and earthquakes, they come to this earth. But those who hope in the Lord, amen, we know that babies died in Bethlehem, but God protected Jesus from that. And we maybe feel like we sometimes can't understand the calamities that come to this earth. We know that that sin has entered the world, and as a result, there's all kinds of things that have gone awry as a result of that. Even the earth has been trembling as a result of sin coming into the world. But whether you understand why those things happen or not, you still have a choice to make. Are you going to give God praise for watching over you? Are you going to give the Lord praise for guarding and guiding your life? I praise God that Yami chose as a child to give God praise. And yes, there was a time that she got sidetracked, but she didn't stay there, amen? And she is back giving God praise and trusting God and leaning on Him to take care. We all have financial pressures throughout our lives. All of us experience something with our job, something with our boss or our employees or our finances, taxes, what have you. But when we trust in the Lord, He clears that up. Amen. He gets us through those things and takes care of us. And we can give Him the praise for that. And I thank God that Yami was hearing other people give testimony, and the Lord put it on her heart. You know what? You need to give testimony too. And so that's a decision. I'm going to give God praise. So pick your praise. Not only who you're going to give praise to, but I also want to talk to you about receiving praise. Because it's important for us to choose who we're going to give praise to. But it's also important to choose who we're going to receive praise from. Palm Sunday teaches us that. Jesus came into Jerusalem and there was praise. And those religious leaders came and said, Jesus, silence your followers, especially these children. You're leading them astray. They're claiming you to be the Messiah by their praise, the King. They're claiming that you are God by their praise, and you need to silence them. And Jesus made a decision from whom he was going to receive praise. And he received praise from those people, from the pure hearts of those children, and from the people who had experienced his grace and his power. He received praise from them. In fact, he said, if they are silent, the very rocks will cry out. Somebody's going to give God praise. You might think that the whole world is going away from God, but God's going to raise up somebody to give him praise. And by the way, he doesn't need to turn to rocks because he has some living stones. Amen? Somebody's not going to cuss the name of God. They're going to praise the name of God. They're not going to say, God damn. They're going to say, God be praised. Amen? They're not going to curse the name of the Lord. They're going to bless the name of the Lord. They're going to lift up the name of the Lord. They're not going to ignore it or drag it through the mud. They're going to lift up the name of God. They're going to lift up the name of Jesus. They're going to lift up the name of the Holy Spirit who does all of this great work among us. They're going to give God praise. Amen? Isn't it interesting that right after a crowd was praising God, there was another crowd that was raising up their voices. Days later, it was almost like an overnight experience. The dichotomy between Jesus entering Jerusalem to the sounds of praise, and then just a few days later, having a crowd, instead of saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King, they were crying out, crucify him! I've wrestled with that in my mind. Is that the same crowd? Was it the same crowd? Was it the same people who were crying out, blessed is he, and Hosanna to the Son of David? Was it the same crowd who were crying out, crucify him? And I've heard so many people talk about that, how the same crowd that blessed him also then cursed him to death. I don't know who was in the crowds. I don't know if it was the same people or some of the same people. My guess is this. My guess is it was two different groups of people. And that those who go along with a crowd, they might have cried out one day, praise him, and one day crucify him. But I don't believe that all the people that were praising him were the same voices who were shouting out, crucify him. I just don't believe that, because we know that some of those voices were the apostles themselves, the mother of Jesus, Mary, and the others who came to his crucifixion and to his resurrection. They were crying out, crucify him, or praise him. We know that they weren't crying out, crucify him later. We know that. But the point is the crowd. It says in that passage in Luke, it talks about the multitude of people. And how the Pharisees came and they said to him, because they were a part of the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And we see the crowd. And the crowd is praising him. But how many of you know that the crowd can turn? Popular opinion can turn. Even the opinion of those who love you the most can turn. Did you know that? So when I say you need to pick your praise, it's really important for you not just to pick the praise that you're going to give, but also pick the praise that you're going to receive. Let me make sure that we understand this before we're done today. In Mark chapter 15, can we turn to the Mark 15 passage? It says, And he answered them, saying, Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews? This was the governor. For he, the governor, perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd. There it is again, the crowd. The crowd. They stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. There it is again, the crowd. I heard somebody say the other day, "I don't like that kind of dress, that kind of clothing." And the response was, "But that's what's popular. That's the style." And once you said what the style was, it was like, oh, let's all bow down to it. Let's bow down to the style. And you might think I'm picking on people for the decisions they make about the clothes they wear, but it's much deeper than that. We bow to the style way more often than we admit. We bow to the crowd way more often than we admit. And any time we bow to the crowd, we're giving homage. We're praising. When we behave according to what the style is or what the crowd is saying, here's the problem with that. The crowd is not consistent. The crowd changes. Did you notice how often styles change? Skinny ties and skinny lapels went out in the 1920s and came back in the first decade of the 2000s. What that tells you is if you're wearing something that's going out of style, don't throw it out. Keep it, because 50 years from now, it'll be back in style. The crowd is fickle. I do believe that there were at least some people who were crying out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," because they were excited about the miracles. But then the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, "That's wrong. You need to say crucify him," because it says that they influenced the crowd. That's what they said. So some people who are over here saying praise him are over here saying crucify him. The thing is, people are hard to please. One of the most sad statements we have in our human vocabulary is, "We fell out of love. No longer love each other. We loved each other once, but we no longer love each other." See how fickle the crowd is? Because we're going by all these emotions. We're not going by the will. We're not going by decisions. We're not going by reason or by the Spirit of God. We're not guided by the Word of God. We're guided by all these emotions. Oh, I love. No, I don't. I wouldn't even think about loving that person. Well, you just stood at an altar like last week or last year or 7 years ago, whatever, and said, "I love you more than anybody on the planet." And now you're telling me you don't love? The fact of the matter is, you got to pick who you're going to receive praise from. Because the people are hard to please at times. The people are something, because they change what they want. And we know this about Jesus. Some of the people who were praising him were now crying out, "Crucify him," because they just didn't feel like it anymore. They didn't think it was worth it anymore. It's amazing to me how Jesus rose above that. Look at John chapter 2, verse 23 through 25. It says that now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, this is early in his ministry, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. In John chapter 6, we see that Jesus started to teach about crucifixion and about sacrifice and suffering. If you're going to be a part of Jesus, it's going to involve some sacrifice and some suffering. And the Bible's very honest and open about it and says that a multitude of people turned away from Jesus and no longer followed him. No wonder Jesus didn't entrust himself to people. He knew that they were praising him based on the blessing that they would receive. And then if they didn't feel like they were receiving any blessing, they would no longer praise him. God is worthy whether you feel blessed by him or not. God is God whether you feel like he's hearing you or not. I mean, 400 years the people of Egypt were in slavery. And the reality is they probably thought God had tuned them out and was not responding to them. But God had prophesied that to Abraham. 400 years they'll be. You see, the fact of the matter is, even through 400 years of slavery, God was still God and he was still worthy. And Jesus knew that people would praise him based on what they could get from him, regardless of whether they understand him to be the Son of God, the Redeemer, the Rebuilder, the Rewarder, the Restorer, all those things that we sang about him today. So he didn't entrust himself to them. And I love back in John chapter 6, after all those people had turned away, Jesus turns to his buddies, his pals, and he said, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter, we give Peter a bad time because all the kind of goofy things that he says, you know. And he does. He had foot and mouth disease. We know that, right? But Peter said the most powerful things of all the disciples. And here again he did. He said, "Lord, to whom else can we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You alone are the Holy One of Israel. You're the only one who could give me eternal life. So I'm not going anywhere, Jesus. Even if the world may turn aside, I will live for you, Jesus. I will give you praise." And you know, Jesus recognized, you know, there are some people, they'll give you praise one day, and then they won't. I saw the funniest T-shirt I have ever seen in my life in Hawaii this week. And you have to hear it at least twice, maybe three times before you're going to get it, okay? Because it's one of those things you have to see. It's harder to hear it. But listen to this. Here's what the T-shirt said. "Don't bro me unless you know me." Have you ever been around people where they go, "Hey, bro," and they don't even know you? Or worse yet, they say, "Hey, bro," but you know they don't like you. But they go, "Hey, bro." And you're thinking, "You don't even like me." Have you ever been around people that go, "Hey, hon, hey, sweetie," waitresses, you know, people like that. "Hey, hon, hey, sweetie, what do you have today?" You know, and you're going, "I'm not your hon. I'm not your sweetie." And I love that statement. "Don't bro me unless you know me." The reality is a lot of people are broing the Lord without knowing the Lord. They're giving God praise with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. Jesus knew that, so he wouldn't entrust himself. Go to the next one in John chapter 12. The next one says, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees," these are religious leaders who believed in Jesus, "but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." Julius, I was blown away because it happens every time I preach with you guys, all you worship leaders. Every time I preach. And you don't know what I'm going to preach on most of the time. And today again, you didn't know. But when we started singing that song, "For the praises of man, I will never, ever stand." Remember it? "For the kingdoms of this world, I'll never give my heart away or shout my praise." Pick your praise. You living for the praises of man, or you living for the praise of God? Jesus had people who believed in him but weren't willing to say anything about it because they love the praise that comes from man more than the praise that comes from God. You've got to pick your praise. Who are you living for? Whose affirmation? Whose appreciation? Are you serving God so that people could appreciate you, or so that God could appreciate you? Are you looking for people's affirmation? Are you looking for people's approval or God's approval? The thing about people's approval is that it changes. You can't please all the people all the time, and sometimes you can't please any of the people any of the time. You can't please that boss. You can't please those employees. You can't please that spouse. You can't please those kids or those parents. You feel that way sometimes, and that's when you need to ask, who am I living for? Whose praise am I picking? Whose approval do I really want? At some point, you need to realize that people change whether they're going to approve of you or not. But God is easier to please than people. He's easier to please for the people. Why? Because he doesn't change. He tells you what he wants from you, and he never changes that. That's why, in that case, it's easier to please God than it is to please humans. The other thing that's wrong with human praise is this. It's temporary. Jesus saw this when he was entering Jerusalem. Praise, praise. A few days later, crucify, crucify. He knew that the public opinion changes. The very people that vote you in office one day can't wait to vote you out the next. The very people who stand at the altar with you one day and say, I'll love you forever, then telling you that they fell out of love. But the praise of God is not temporary. The praise of God is eternal. It's eternal. It never goes. When God says, well done, you good and faithful servant, that's going to ring throughout eternity. You think you're only going to hear that once? That's the statement that we ought to be living for. We ought to be living for that statement that when we stand before a holy God, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy that has been prepared for you from all eternity. That's the one who we want to pick his praise. We want him to approve of us. We want him to endorse us. And you think it's only going to be once in heaven that we're going to hear that? No, that's going to resound through all eternity. We're going to hear those words over and over. Well done, well done, well done. Enter in, enter in, enter in. That's the praise that we ought to be living for and, if necessary, dying for. We need to live for that praise and not the praise of man. And the last passage of Scripture is in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And it says, Paul says, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I was still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Love God whether people around you are loving God or not. Serve God whether people are serving God around you or not. Because it's not their praise you're picking. It's God's praise. If you're in a crowd, and even a small crowd, two or three is a crowd to God, you know? Two or three gathered in my name. If you're among others and they're talking about Jesus and maybe some derogatory ways or dismissive ways, and you're not willing to speak up for Jesus, if you're not willing to what the Scripture says to give an answer to those who ask you for the hope that you have, you remember what Jesus said. If you're embarrassed about me and disown me before man, I will disown you before the Father and his angels. If you are so afraid to speak up for Jesus, then whose praise are you picking? Whose approval? If you're not speaking out for Jesus, speaking up for Jesus, speaking of Jesus, the one from whom praise is eternal, the one for whom praise is eternally to be given. We are to pick to praise him, to give him praise, and to only receive praise from him. Amen? So do we never receive praise from people? Of course we do. If people come to us and say, good job, way to go. If your spouse is saying, I love you, don't worry about it. Don't go, oh no, don't love me because I got to pick God. God has to love me. You know, we get weird, don't we? Here's what Romans 12:18 says. Romans 12:18 says this. If it's possible, Live at peace with all people. So much as it depends upon you. That frees you from being liked by everybody. It means that you work to please other people. You work to have their affirmation. But it only can go so far, because when their affirmation changes, you have a decision to make. Do I keep working and striving for it, or do I seek for God's affirmation? Some people have stayed in relationships way beyond. I know I'm talking about abusive relations. I've seen people stay in relationships way beyond they should. I'll just get them to like me. I'll just get them to like me. I'll just get this person to like me. And all the while, you're getting beat on to a pulp. At some point, you need to let God say, I like you, and then stand up. Sometimes the reason why people are beating on us is because we're letting them beat on us. And sometimes they realize that we don't even believe in ourselves. At some point, we need to say, God, you know what? I'm going to stand up. And if you want me to stay in this relationship, I will. If you don't want me to stay in this relationship, I won't. Whatever it is, if a boss is beating up on you, God might say to you, don't run and endure hardship like a good soldier. Don't run from that. Live up under it. But there are other times that God says, get out of there. You don't need to be treated like that. I've endorsed you. You can live beyond all of that. But I'm not telling you which one it is. You got to seek God that for yourself. The point that I'm making is you have to start by seeking the praise of God rather than the praise of man. Paul says, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Because if you're going to please God, I can guarantee you, you're not going to please somebody else. Somewhere along the line, the world has made a decision that they'll live without God. Thank you very much. And we can reach out to those who God will touch and who God has chosen to receive salvation and all of that. But when others don't receive it, you still have a choice to make. Am I going to please them, or am I going to please God? I want us to, this week, to really think about this weekend. We're in the last part of the weekend that we're currently experiencing, so obviously I'm speaking of next weekend. And I want us to think about giving God praise on Friday night. Choosing to come and give God praise, but also making it known to others. You say, well, I'm afraid if I invite others and they don't say yes, that it's going to be discouraging. Who are you pleasing, God or man? They might even make fun of me. Who are you pleasing, God or man? I just want you to begin to prepare. I firmly believe that God wants to meet us this weekend, Friday night in our Good Friday worship service, and then Sunday morning in our resurrection service. If we're believing that scripture come alive, wouldn't it be awesome if Easter Sunday morning we saw people miraculously healed? I think it'd be awesome if God brought a dead person to church on Resurrection Sunday. Wouldn't it be amazing if just we were the church? I don't know if we'll ever be. It doesn't matter to me, because God's in control, amen? But it'd be awesome if on the day we're saying that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that we see somebody come alive. But even if it doesn't happen physically, don't we want to see it happen spiritually? Don't we want to see people be born again, to come alive spiritually, to be forgiven of their sins and receive eternal life on Easter Sunday morning? When better should we see that happen? So next Sunday, I want you to pray, because at the end of the service, we're going to say, those of you who are sick, those of you who don't have a relationship with God, come. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe God to heal people and save people and deliver people on Easter Sunday morning. If we're saying that Jesus is enough for us as a church, and he is. If we're saying that the presence of God is enough, we're not going to rely upon our programs. We're not going to rely upon our own nice singing and eloquent speaking and all those things. If we're saying that the way that people experience Jesus the best is by experiencing Jesus, then let's pray, maybe even fast some of this week, a meal or a day, and seek the Lord and say, God, would you bring people to Embassy Church who would come and experience that God's not dead, he's alive, that Jesus is no longer in the grave, but he is risen, and they could experience a living Lord Jesus for themselves on Easter Sunday morning. Oh, God, give it to us, Lord. Give it to us, Lord. Give it to us, Lord. God, help us to prepare ourselves. Help us to pray. Help us, Lord, to see you come. Lord, we want you here Friday night, Jesus. We want you there Saturday at the outreach, Lord. We want you here Sunday morning, God. We want you here Sunday afternoon. Lord, we want you here, Jesus. Because if you're not here, Lord, people's lives won't be transformed. People won't be saved. People won't be healed. But Jesus, if you're here, Lord, we will see your glory, God. We will see what will bring you praise, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Can we say amen, church?